music you remember. Curtain Radio.
My guest joining me now is Robin Westgate. She is a Family and Domestic Violence Project Officer here at Curtin University. And we're hearing about so many terrible things that women that are being murdered at the moment. We're not touching on that. We're talking, in fact, about the project that's being held here at Curtin University. And Robin's here to join us. Good afternoon to you, Robin.
Good afternoon, Jenny. How are you?
Not too good. You know, we've just heard that there's a 29th victim has just been mentioned on the news in Victoria. So that's 29 this year women that have lost their lives. Very sad.
11 more women at this time this year than the same time last year.
Oh,
so statistics are very bad.
Well, what do you think? I mean, with all the work that you do, Robin, it's a huge concern out there, isn't it? I mean, not all men, of course, are violent like this, but there is a situation that leads a lot of these men to do these horrendous things.
I believe categorically that you can't say enough for men without some people getting offended. But I believe that most men are good, honest people.
Yeah.
Who really don't agree with a lot of what they're seeing and a lot of what's happening. And one of the things that I say is that everybody, male or female, can be a leader in getting people to take action and do something about what they see. And you might see something that you know does not line up with your morals and how you think and feel. But you also think, what can I do? I'm only one person. I might be alone. It might not be safe. So what should I do?
Mm.
And what we do in our training is say to people, there are ways you can do this without putting yourself at danger. And by doing something positive that might only seem small, but it can actually have...
Mm. We're not talking about the situations that we've seen recently on the news, the horrific stabbings and so on, where things happen very quickly. You're talking, are you not, it's called mate bystander. You're talking about somebody that is maybe aware of a family member or a friend that has indicated that there is a risk of, you know, their well-being.
When people think of a bystander, they often think of someone who literally stands by and lets something happen.
Yeah.
What we say is that an active bystander is a person who takes action of some sort to support their friends or colleagues or even a stranger by stepping in, provided it is safe for them to do so. And this is during critical moments of when they see their mates or their family in need. Now, the first thing we say, the most important thing we say is that it has to be safe. Much like when you're on a plane and they give you a little talk about the masks dropping down, they tell you that you must put your mask on first before you can help anybody else.
Mm.
So we say you must be safe. That's the first thing. But there are many, many ways. We do not encourage people to step in and race in and put themselves in danger. There are many ways that you can actively take part in saying that behaviour is not right and that behaviour is not acceptable.
Mm.
A lot of what we do is aimed at men, not because we're saying all men are bad, but because they have the most influence on other men. So we are actually launching on May 8th, so it's going to be Mate Day. We're going to be talking to a lot of men like tradies, saying things like... Let's look at the good stuff. So dob in a mate for doing something great.
Mm.
But equally, you can dob in a mate or, more to the point, say quietly to them, listen, mate, that behaviour is not on. We don't do that here anymore. That's, you know, you might have got away with that however many years ago, but it's just not the go anymore.
Mm.
Many people, male and female, have the opportunity to say stuff like that and actually... take one little tiny step that might make a massive difference.
Yeah, I'm sure it would. I mean, like I said earlier, sometimes you can pick up, I suppose, in company whether one person's partner is sort of heading that way. You know, they may be ignoring their partner, they may be putting them down, they may be narcissistic to a point. And if you're about an outsider looking in on it, you can sort of see it a lot more clearly, I think, than the partner that may be in danger.
Yes. And what we say is there are many reasons why people don't get involved, and one of them is, what if I'm wrong? what if I make a fool of myself?
Yeah, true.
And I sort of say, so what? You might be embarrassed for a couple of minutes, but really the impact of you caring enough could be exactly what that person needs. I lived with a lot of violence, and on one occasion I had one of his family actually ask me, was I being hit? Now, I denied it.
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
I was terrified that it would get back to him.
Yeah.
But for a long, long time afterwards, I held deep inside me the fact that someone had heard me, someone had noticed,
yeah.
someone had cared. And that made a massive difference. So, no, I didn't respond at the time. And she might have felt like a bit of a fool asking me. But the difference it made deep inside me was astronomical. So I say to people, you don't know the impact of what you're going to do, how empowering it could be. Now, you might feel making it worse. But, frankly, things are pretty bad if you're already noticing that things are already worse. Getting involved sends two messages, a message of support to the victim and a message of accountability to the perpetrator.
Mm.
So that's your role as a bystander. But again, I stress it needs to be safe.
Yeah. See, what you said, sorry, Robin, what you actually said is very common in that you don't want your partner, if they're violent and they're showing signs of it and, you know, you've got odd bruises and that sort of thing, you don't want them to be confronted because they can become more violent towards you, because you're staying in a situation a lot of the times because you have nowhere to go, you don't have enough money, it could be that. There's all sorts of things involved in a breakup.
Definitely. And what we say is sometimes the face-to-face confrontation is not the way to go. You could be an active bystander and support the person by later saying to them, how's things going? Are you okay? Or I've noticed you've been quiet lately. Are you okay? Or just if it's a colleague or something like that, perhaps just leaving a little smiley face note on their desk or a chockey or something like that.
Mm.
Just that little tiny, tiny thing of support that could actually be a massive, massive impact on the person's life.
But Robin, I'm just wondering, that's fine if you've got somebody that is aware to a point that there's a problem. The trouble is, though, when does somebody go to that person and say, well, yes, as a matter of fact, I am a bit scared. What is the next step?
Again, that depends on the circumstances. And I explain to people, you can't save anybody, but you can walk with them when they save themselves, because it can take many, many, many times for a person to actually feel strong enough and supported enough to leave a bad relationship.
Oh, yes, huge.
You cannot make them, but you can walk with them. So if you are concerned, make some inquiries quietly in the background so you know that perhaps you've got to speak to someone and you say, well, do you know that there's a free legal service down the road? You know, do you want to perhaps the pair of us drop in and have a chat? Or how about we have a coffee and we can look at some of the alternatives of what you might be able to do?
Yeah.
So you go with them, but you don't do it for them, because that's, again, if you do it for them, you're taking control.
Yeah.
And you need to stand with them, not actually trying to make them do it. There are ways you can show support by just letting them know they're there. They might not want to talk. They might just want somebody physically nearish to them in a safe, quiet place where they can just be and just have a safe, quiet moment, because often you don't have that in a bad relationship. The toxicity, the constant waiting, the hypervigilance, it's called, doesn't allow you to relax. They might want to talk. And if they do, then actively listen. Don't try and tell them what to do.
No. You see, can I just say, though, the perpetrator is the controller, has been for so long, and the victim, of course, has lost confidence and doesn't know which way to turn. So all those emotions are very strong. So when you say there is support, there's free legal service, okay. What about restraining orders? I mean, sometimes it's not worth the paper it's written on.
That's true.
Mm.
Unfortunately, it's very true. But one of the biggest things that when you work with the police, they will say to you that if you do report it, even if you don't take out a violence restraining order, if it's reported, then it shows a pattern. And that's often what they're looking for if they're going to start looking at prosecution or ABOs or things like that. So the other thing we'd say to people is, if it's safe for you to do so, record things that happen. Like, just make notes, or somewhere safe you can leave a notebook or something like that, or have a friend hold it. But no, sometimes ABOs are no good. They're not. But there are specialist family domestic violence units attached to the West Australian Police Force who can give good advice on the best and safest ways to proceed.
Where do we go with this? I mean, have you got a course, did you say, here at Curtin, have you?
Look, we do bystander training in several areas. We do creating respectful workplaces, which is a commercial type of thing.
It
looks at what is harassment, what is bullying, what is racism, and how you can be an active bystander to help prevent that. We do one around gendered violence, and we're starting to do several in the community down in the Rockingham and Kwinana area with the legal service down that way. So we'll be doing to high school students and to the community. We do talks to high schools. We go out and try and make people aware that they do have the power to do something, and that every single life impacts so many other lives. So if you see something and you say, that's not on, somebody else might see you doing that and think, oh, G. Robin did it, maybe I can do it next time. Yeah. Maybe I can safely... So you could actually impact a lot of people just by being positive about something. People underestimate how much influence they might have. Now, we also do a... I've spoken on your show before about a MOOC about understanding domestic violence, which is available online for free. And there are other training courses you can do, but there's also a lot of information for people actually online. If you look, there's information lines you can ring and ask about. If people want to ring 1-800-RESPECT, they can find a lot of information. There's a free app called Be There, which is available on Apple and the Android, which has basic domestic violence information and what it is, and little learning sections that can explain what you're looking at and what actually constitutes abuse and how to respond. And there are many bodies that do provide information, like the Women's Centre for Health and Wellbeing. They provide a list of all the services available in WA.
Excellent. So
there is help out there. The hardest thing to do is ask.
It's taking that first step, I think.
Yes. And this is where someone who might see something or notice something, if they happen to say something, when the person who's being victimised is ready to do something, they will remember that you cared, that you said something.
Yeah.
And they might come to you and say, can you help me find what you talked about? Can you help me do this? And that's when you go, yeah, of course, what can we do?
Yeah, you're right, Robin. It sort of snowballs, doesn't it, when people know that someone cares. Robin, with the talks that you give in the areas that you've mentioned, if people are interested, and also just quickly, is it for the for the people that's a victim or somebody that's trying to help? What are they designed for?
Well, the courses we do, both commercially and at Curtin, are designed for people who might be aware that something's happening, either in their workplace or in gendered violence. There is perpetrator programs, but they're very, very... they really need experts to deal with it. We're lucky that we have one of the nation's best experts at Curtin University, and Professor Donald Chung, but training for... courses for perpetrators is very difficult to do.
And of course, they don't want to admit it.
Well, I was going to say that, but
that's pretty much. You know what, going to schools, Robin, speaking to young men and women, I suppose, is the big start and breakthrough, isn't it? Because, you know, they have to know that that's wrong, that behaviour is good, that's bad, and that's what needs to be sort of dealt with at a very early age.
We have a specialist program we do on sexual harassment, sexual assault and consent in the West Australian context. And we talk to young people about just because you've seen it on the internet doesn't mean it's right.
Exactly.
A lot of young people's sexual education is being informed by pornography. Mm. And it's terrifying how easy it is for young people, and I mean 9, 10, 11-year-olds,
to access
pornography on the internet.
That's terrible.
And this is where they're seeing the norm. Mm. And because we don't have these sorts of conversations where you can openly talk to your kids or your nephews and nieces or even friends to say, well, actually, no, it's not like that. That's porn. It's created to deliver a market. So we say to people that young people are being informed the wrong way. They're being informed by social media. They're being informed by pornography. So if we can get them talking about what is respect and what is respectful relationships, we might be able to tone a bit of that down.
Well, the social media situation is being looked at and debated very heavily at the moment, where they're going to hopefully put restrictions on young people being able to go there, and Mr. Musk can make his money somewhere else.
Yeah, that's a whole other story.
It sure is. You're doing a great job, Robin. Congratulations. And so if people want to know a little bit more about courses and so on, is there a website or...?
There will be shortly. We're having a website put onto the Curtin website. At the moment, we're on both Facebook, which is MateBystander@Curtin, and LinkedIn. We have a website, again, MateBystander@Curtin.
Bystander.
Or just email mate@curtin.edu.au.
That is wonderful. You're doing great, great work. We're not bystanders. There's no two ways about it if we could. Absolutely right.
We have an amazing team and we have a lot of support from people like you. So thank you very much.
Anytime. Absolutely. Robin, thank you so much.